Welcome, everyone, to the NPCs Podcast and the Weekly News Roundup. For the week of July 21st, 2023, here is what's making headlines. Project Trinity is the supposed codename for PlayStation 5 Pro. Dolphin Emulator no longer coming to Steam. Activision Blizzard lays off 50 esports staff and term changes for Overwatch League. Major Nelson is leaving Xbox. And Spider-Man 2, PlayStation 5, and controller coming soon. My name is Travis Sherman, and as always for the Weekly News Roundup, I am joined by Kyle Immen. Kyle, howdy.
What's up?
What's up, man? I mean, it's not in the news stuff there, but obviously, of course, you know, we're a couple weeks late here on things. But of course, Microsoft was successful in their thing with the Activision Blizzard stuff against the FTC. It sounds like there's been a pause on the appeal for the CMA over in the UK. So it looks like with everything being done and things being extended out, it's very possible that we'll actually see everything said and done within the next probably about 2 to 3 months. So, hey, good news at least there. And we don't have to cover much more of that. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm just hoping and praying, you know, meanwhile contemplating buying a Spider-Man PS5 in the meantime, just so I can play Spider-Man and, you know, see if there's any performance difference in the PS5 version of Returnal and my PC, if maybe I can get an edge somehow. But
for the guy who doesn't need to buy any more electronics or really anything, you probably just shouldn't.
Maybe. But, I mean, I want one so bad, and it's so gorgeous. But we're not quite there yet. So, with that let's get underway.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one farther down the line. But let's start off with the first news story here, speaking of PlayStation 5, is apparently we have some information about the long-rumored PlayStation 5 Pro. So since the days, of course, really of the PlayStation 4, we've had a Pro model come out, one that has exceeded the capabilities of the original generation PlayStation model. And now it sounds like, of course, you know, there's some expectation that we're going to be seeing something like that from Sony with a Pro model. But we hadn't really heard much other than a couple things here and there or something coming down the line. Well, we have some information now. However, I'd like to preface this by telling everybody to take this with a grain of salt, because right now a lot of the reporting on this story is on non-major gaming news publications. So I'm not seeing anything reported on this by Kotaku, IGN, GameSpot, GamesRadar. Nobody seems to be talking about this right now. So what it makes me think of, though, at least with what we're seeing in kind of the next level down for news reporting, is kind of where this thing is at. So of course, take this with a grain of salt. But here's what we got. So apparently, PlayStation 5 Pro is under the codename Project Trinity, and apparently that this codename scheme follows something similar that they did with the PlayStation 4 Pro, which was called Project Neo. They did this with the PlayStation VR, which was called Project Morpheus. So it makes sense that the next phase of things would be, at least if they're following like the Matrix naming, that Project Trinity would probably be the next thing to be used. However, at least with that information out there, we've been told that there's a release date of potentially around November 2024, and dev kits that are running this newer hardware are supposed to be getting out sometime by the end of this year. And the only other information we have on it is that, and this is the thing I can't actually like validate here against the existing PlayStation 5, Kyle, is it has 30 WGP, and I'm trying to find exactly what that acronym stands for. And then there's 18,000 megatransfers per second memory. And apparently they are, the main goals with these increases on these, again, I have to look up that acronym for WGP, is improved and consistent frames per second at 4K resolution and a new performance mode for 8K. And then, of course, focus on accelerated ray tracing. So this article I'm reading, of course, is from, or this information is from thegamer.com, where they got their information from key2gaming.com. Again, everything needs to be taken with a grain of salt here at the moment. I need to look up this acronym. I don't know what WGP actually stands for.
Yeah, I was looking it up myself.
Let's see. WGP acronym. World Grand Prix, white gold plate, white girl problem. Oh, yeah, white girl problems. That's definitely it. Where is this on here? Wales Green Party, wavelength graph of Pat. No, this is not helping me. I can't find anything here on exactly what WGP would stand for. And that just doesn't help anything at all, trying to figure out exactly like what that means. Because even like the PlayStation 5 wiki article doesn't even make mention of this WGP thing in the first place. There, I can't find anything for that acronym.
Neither can I.
Yeah, and so. Even looking at like the 18,000 mega transfers per second memory, like I can't find what the existing memory even works for as either. So if it's a step up, cool. I just don't have anything
processor,
to
processor maybe.
Okay, but I still don't have. I don't know. It's just it's an acronym I've never heard, and I don't know how to translate 18,000 mega transfers per second memory to what we know of for like memory. Like, are we still talking the 16 gigs of DDR4, potentially DDR5 memory that is running at a higher speed? I assume that's probably the case. I don't know. But Kyle, we've been, let's make this clear here. We've gotten rumors about a PlayStation 5 Pro literally since the day after the PlayStation 5 dropped. Like, we started hearing talk of different things like, you know, you've only got to wait a little bit of time and we're going to see a PlayStation 5 Pro. Right. And of course, the rumored PlayStation 5 Slim. But as it stands right now, this has just kind of been par for the course. And we know Microsoft's not doing anything at the moment. We're not having any major hardware refreshes, except, of course, with the Xbox Series S getting 1 terabyte of internal storage versus the 512 it launched with. I mean, what do you think? Is this just more of the boilerplate stuff we expect to see? Do you think that this holds any like water right now? I don't know.
I don't know. This one's really hard to say because of the fact that I'm... PlayStation, I feel like the way they're sitting now, I'm looking at the specs and whatnot, and it's like the games that are out currently, they were supposed to be, you know, utilizing all these particular specs and ways that the PlayStation accessed the memory and the solid-state drive in such a way that it was supposed to be so much faster anyway. So it wasn't supposed to be necessary. But now, all of a sudden, that might actually all be BS, because we're seeing that Ratchet and Clank coming out on Steam can be installed on just a regular hard drive. So, and that was supposed to be the big point of that thing, that game, is you can't install it on a regular hard drive because it needs that high processing power in order to transfer between dimensions. And I don't know how they're going to work around that. Maybe, you know, it wasn't necessary. But just the same, we're at a point in PlayStation's lifespan where they do have more consoles out on the market than Microsoft has for the Xbox. And they're still not getting consoles out to people. We're still kind of having a rocky area of people not being able to attain consoles, even though that they are showing up more and more in your big box stores available on Amazon or your online retailers. So is this really necessary? But if they do think it is, what's the price point going to be? You know, if they're already talking of raising the price of the current gen system when they've already had 3 revisions to make it cheaper.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm kind of really stuck at with this right now too, is that have we actually had the PlayStation 5 out long enough and enough of the market penetration actually occur with that console to really even justify another phase in developing like a PlayStation 5 Pro right now? Or the idea of what benefit are we going to get out of a PlayStation 5 Pro right now anyway? Like you just said, one of their flagship titles, Ratchet and Clank, is making its way over to PC and doesn't require a speedy solid state drive to actually work properly. You know, that's in their recommendation list. And there have been other titles such as Horizon, and of course you've also had God of War that have been added to PC and haven't suffered any sort of problems running on there either. Now, that's what just makes me wonder, is there a real need for this? It feels like, just as it is with any other technology out there anyway, is that they're discovering new tricks and tips to actually apply better firmware updates to the console itself to actually improve performance. I guess there was an update that just dropped recently that does actually improve performance. I don't want to say significantly, but at least it's noticeable. And why would somebody want to go and invest $500 in a PlayStation 5 just to be told in about 12 months from now, you could be looking at buying a better version of it for potentially $100 more? You know, it's like, is there going to be a net benefit to the end consumer for doing something like this? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going to alienate the people who have been fighting to get PlayStation 5s or don't have a need to go up to a pro in the first place? I mean, how many 8K TVs are out there in people's homes right now? I know you can buy them, but they're just expensive. Yeah, yeah. There's no reason. Like, I would prefer to have a 4K, 120 hertz refresh rate television than I would to go and spend the money on an 8K TV, because what content am I going to consume that's 8K in the first place? That's one of the key problems too.
And maybe that's the real hang up that they're having here, is the fact that they don't necessarily need to hit 8K, is the fact that the games that are hitting 4K and their performance mode, or I guess their high quality mode on games, is actually lower refresh rate. So you're getting like way lower frame rate than you would be if you're playing the high, or the I guess faster gameplay or whatever, because a lot of games that you're seeing that are coming out on PlayStation are having your performance mode and your quality mode, and your quality mode of course focuses on graphics, and that's the one that slows down the frame rate, and you get choppiness because unfortunately they're trying to add ray tracing and all this unnecessary crap to the game.
Yeah.
That a lot of TVs, let's face it, there are a lot of people now that have 4K TVs, but there's still a lot of people that don't. And there's a lot of kids that don't, that have their PS5s hooked up to just 1080p TVs. So, I mean, they're going to be playing just your standard performance mode anyway. And most gamers prefer the performance mode. So if that's the focus, I think realistically what this new project that they have coming down the pipeline is probably going to be the answer to wiping out both the current consoles that we have and saying, here's a base unit, you can buy a disc drive, you don't have to.
I guess maybe. I mean, if the rumors will hold true about what the next PlayStation 5 is going to be like, that it's going to be an actual slim model, but it's going to have a detachable disc drive that you just plug into the USB Type-C in the back. Okay, cool. I want to go back on the ray tracing comment, though, that you made, because there were some people who had pointed this out, and this made the most sense to me, because I see the value of ray tracing in those single-player, like, cinematic games. Like, those games specifically that you, are going to be enjoying those cinematic cutscenes and the views and everything, all that. But one of the things, though, was when it came to ray tracing was Spider-Man. I think it was the remastered version of Spider-Man that they released for PlayStation 5 that had the ability to enable ray tracing. Well, the problem with that is that if you're Spider-Man, you're swinging around on those webs, you're not really taking in where a lot of the ray tracing is coming into play. For example, along the side of skyscrapers. If you went up and crawled along one of those skyscrapers, you get that ray tracing effect and ability going on the actual textures. You're able to see the reflections. You're able to see the dynamic lighting. It's really cool. But that game is fast enough that you don't really get a way to take that in. And you're also hemorrhaging performance for this thing that you're not even able to actually experience without slowing down.
Right.
And so to put in the effort for ray tracing on all of these games, or at least emphasis of ray tracing with your next generation, like putting better quality behind it, cool, that's fine. But we already saw in the notes and things that came out of the Microsoft versus FTC case, when Sony, of course, had their stuff put up, most people on the PlayStation 5 are playing Call of Duty right now. And if there's ray tracing in Call of Duty, these guys sure as hell don't care because they are playing multiplayer or Warzone, and your job is just to be as fast as you can and just make sure you don't die. That's the thing. So the actual possibility of a PlayStation 5 Pro coming out is probably likely, but it needs to be a few more years out. I just don't think there's a market for it right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's a market for it either. There are so many people that don't even necessarily know how to, I guess, clean their system properly, even though that it's easier to, you know, remove the side panels or, for that matter, add the memory to the system. So maybe that's what they're targeting if they are doing a Pro unit, the fact that, you know, it's going to be a quieter, you know, cooler unit that is going to have more memory. And, you know, that's all well and good, but I just don't see the margin for it, because the group that they're targeting is so minimal in so many ways. And that's just one, I guess, group of people that you could target with it, or you could, I guess, target your performance gamers or whatever, but, you know, or I guess your power gamers. But regardless, there's just not enough of a market out there currently for it when, you know, there was such a high demand for the console, and now people still can't get them, but they're in the stores. So, I mean, they are the best-selling console of this generation so far. I mean, other than, obviously, Nintendo that can't be beat. But I just don't see it being a feasible project and being it profitable for Sony in so many ways that I really do think this is going to be their discless unit with a detachable or attachable, for that matter, Blu-ray drive, that they could, you know, package the same unit, you know, with the Blu-ray drive or without it, and they could still charge you more right out the gate, and then they could charge you for the Blu-ray drive separate, and they could say, oh, it's, you know, $50 more because you didn't buy it with the console as the package deal.
Yeah, more likely than not, that'll probably end up being the case. I think even in the world of gaming, like power users and that, what's out there right now, I think, is plenty. And if you want more of that power, obviously, of course, you could switch over to PC, where you can customize and build out to your heart's content to get a very powerful system that then you can upgrade later on. You know, you're not bound by what there is in a console, but not everybody's going to go out and do that. So most appear to be happy with what they've got.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, with the new PSVR 2 and the cost of the console with the disc drive, you're getting into the realm of buying a PC anyway. So is it really feasible to release a Pro unit to, you know, force people to just continuously upgrading in the middle of their cycle?
Yeah, exactly. I think there needs to be more maturity on the PlayStation 5 front before we actually see a PlayStation 5 Pro. If it's going to happen, it needs to be at least several more years. It doesn't need to be next year that this thing releases, if that ends up being the case. But I don't think it will. That's why I told our audience here, it's like, take this with a grain of salt. I think we're definitely more on track for the PlayStation 5 Slim to come out with that detachable disc drive. I think that's the next thing.
Agreed. And I think that's what, you know, all the rumors, you know, that people are reading into the PS5 Pro are just leaning into.
Yeah. So until at least there is information about, you know, a PlayStation 5 Pro from Sony themselves, we just have to take everything as it is here and put in our own notes and carry on. And we carry on here to our next story. We covered this actually a couple weeks ago, but now there's an official response, at least here. The Dolphin emulator, this one is able to play GameCube and Wii games, is no longer going to be heading to Steam. So several weeks ago, Dolphin was in the midst of getting getting Dolphin itself, the team behind Dolphin, excuse me, they were getting ready to release it on Steam. And Valve went ahead and reached out directly to Nintendo in regards to this. And Nintendo went ahead and asked Valve to basically issue a DMCA request against the Dolphin team, making it clear that they can't release it, and because of the DMCA, and that they needed to work it out with Nintendo. Well, they have decided to go ahead and indefinitely postpone the release of Dolphin on Steam, more specifically, at least the official release. What they said here is what actually happened was that Valve's legal department contacted Nintendo to inquire about the announced release of Dolphin Emulator on Steam. In reply to this, a lawyer representing Nintendo of America requested Valve prevent Dolphin from releasing on the Steam store, citing the DMCA as justification. Valve then forwarded us the statement from Nintendo's lawyers and told us that we had to come to an agreement with Nintendo in order to release on Steam. Considering the strong legal wording, at the start of the document and the citation of DMCA law, we took the letter very seriously. So, after a long stay of silence, we have a difficult announcement to make. We are abandoning our efforts to release Dolphin on Steam. So, it's not a shock. I mean, obviously, Nintendo's been on a tear anyway, taking down emulators and ROMs and such, because, of course, they've got to protect their, they're protecting their IP. A lot of the talk, at least about where most of the actual frustration and issue is at, is with what's known as the Wii Common Key. Mm-hmm. And what that common key is that key is the actual decryption key that is burned into a chipset in every Wii console. And that's what's used to decrypt the content and allow for Wii games and GameCube games to actually play on the Wii. Without anything like that, the games themselves wouldn't work. What had happened is that many years ago, I think I read somewhere it was about 15 years ago. Oh, yeah, 15 years ago or so, a group called literally what they call themselves Team Tweezers. And Kyle, I don't know if you'd ever heard about this or not. They are the ones who actually extracted out the Wii Common Key based on their namesake. They actually used some sort of like tweezers hack or something. I guess with the tweezers being metal, they were able to do some sort of like bypass on the actual chip to be able to get to read and dump the key.
I remember something on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they figured that out. And that key has actually been a part of Dolphin about the same amount of time, because the same team there who actually was able to get the key out put that in the Dolphin repo. And so that's been there for a while. And that repo is still up. Like, Dolphin's emulator repo is still up on GitHub now, as far as I'm aware. So the fact that it's been up this long and it was going to get released in an official capacity, it's interesting to see where Nintendo kind of lies at with this. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't gone and taken down the GitHub repository yet or anything, or issued a DMCA request against it. But even with this doesn't necessarily mean you can't use Dolphin on the Switch, or on the Switch, on the Steam Deck, or on your PC or anything like that. You can still go and get it and use it.
Yeah.
It's just
not through Steam.
Yeah, you won't be able to go and get it through Steam. That's going to be the key thing, is that it's just you have to go a little bit of a harder way to get it, but not necessarily too hard. I don't know, Kyle. I mean, you have your Steam Deck, of course. I mean, this is obviously who this was marketed at, is that Dolphin was really more, not even just for getting on Steam, but because the Steam Deck has proven its case to be a great emulation machine. Mm-hmm. And having Dolphin on there, being easily accessible through Steam and being able to use it on your Steam Deck, would have made everything fantastic for the world of emulation. But I don't know, Kyle, as a Steam Deck owner, I mean, like, what do you think about this, and what do you think about other emulators there on the Steam Deck? Like, do you think we're going to start losing more of them? I mean, I know, of course, Steam is important to make a lot of stuff work on the Steam Deck, but you can always sideload things. So what's your take?
Yeah, that's the one thing I was going to say. As much as I guess Valve will maybe pursue this in the future, a little bit more harshly, or, with I guess more vigor, be going behind trying to pursue the emulation and getting the emulation off of their platform. But beyond that, really, I've never used my Steam Deck for the emulator purpose. I play just the PC games. I've never sideloaded stuff. And that's the other thing, is, I mean, people sideload Windows and with Windows, once you have Windows on there, you can pretty much get whatever you want. I mean, it's a Linux-based system. You can go down to kernel level or just load a different version of Linux if you wanted and start playing different games that way, potentially. It's a very open console. It's not going to disappear off the console, but I do think that we'll see a crackdown from Steam and Valve on that front, that we won't see as many emulators pop up because of the fact that, you know, they've had issues, maybe more so with the Nintendo ones, but it's hard to say because that the Wii Common Key was extracted technically from the BIOS, and it's copyrighted BIOS. So that's really what it comes down to. And I don't know, that there is another fine line there, that the other emulators have been, I guess, completely written from the ground up. So it's rough because then all of a sudden, you know, you are using an emulator, but then you're potentially playing pirated software unless you're playing your own backups. It gets to be very murky territory.
Yeah, it's very bizarre to kind of see where a lot of stuff ends up mixing in with all of this. I mean, Nintendo's in their right to issue the DMCA, you know, or at least get the support to issue the DMCA because they are protecting their IP.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, emulation has always been a murky area anyway, is that you have to own the game that you are basically emulating. For even using an emulator, like for some, you have to go download a copy of the BIOS for that system, which is really where more of the illegal part comes in. Having the emulator isn't necessarily illegal, but it's once you get the BIOS and the ROMs, you start running into that real, like, gray and black area.
Right.
So, you know, it not being on the Steam Deck, or at least on the Steam storefront, is probably not going to be the end of the world anyway, and emulation will continue on. It's going to be harder to get, you know, Dolphin onto what you want. At the same time, though, it's not really the end of the world for emulation, though. I mean, things will carry on as they have been.
Right, and I hate to jump around like I did, but, you know, there are so many points to hit, and you're absolutely right. Emulation will carry on. There's always going to be some way to access it through an outside source on your Steam Deck, because essentially the Steam Deck is a PC. And, you know, if not on your Steam Deck, there's emulators on your phone. There's emulators on your computer. You know, if you root other handhelds, you could put emulators on them. And shoot, there are even, you know, imported handhelds that are specifically for emulation. So that's another thing. And some of those even come with the games preloaded on it, which that's a whole nother murky territory to dive into. But the world of emulation is not going to disappear just because Dolphin is disappearing, and because we could see potentially other emulators disappear from Valve's storefront. I think simply to protect Steam and what they're about, because they are one of the, if not the strongest online distributor of games and online platform.
Yeah, they absolutely are. So you make a good point, though, too, about the emulation-specific hardware that is out there. And I'm not talking like your Retron console or anything. I'm talking about some of those handhelds and such, too, that, like you were even mentioning, that, you know, come over already pre-set up for emulation and you just have to just go. So yeah, there is a weird line where things are drawn at, but at the same time, the emulation community will carry on as it has been, and we'll probably see some sort of ability to sideload Dolphin onto the Steam Deck here at some point in time, if not already supported, and life goes on.
Yep.
So we carry on, though, of course, to our next story, and this story is a little bit sad here right now, too. Activision Blizzard has laid off a majority of its esports staff and is working to make potential changes to how Overwatch League is going to function. So they went ahead and laid off around 50 esports members, or members of their esports team. And what's interesting is that with that layoff, a bunch of people, of course, being affected by that, not only just behind the scenes people in the esports, but also a lot of the casters and such who handle things for Overwatch League. yeah, they ended up letting about 50 of them go. And according to one of them that actually was let go, he says it, or they said, it seems like a significant gutting of Activision Blizzard esports. So we saw a bunch of these people let go, but at the same time, it sounds like there are some terms that are changing with Overwatch League, though, too, is that apparently they're going to be changing the terms in the contract, and we haven't seen anything related to the contract. But what's happening, though, is basically, I'm trying to find the actual term here. Yep, here it is. So this is what they actually said in their earnings report, Activision Blizzard did, about this with Overwatch League. During the second quarter, we amended certain terms of our collaborative arrangements with team entities participating in Overwatch League. According to the amended terms, following the conclusion of the current Overwatch League season, the terms will vote on an will vote on an updated operating agreement. If the teams do not vote to continue under an updated operating agreement, a termination fee of $6 million will be payable to each of the participating teams' entity, totaling fee of approximately $114 million. So it's not to say Overwatch League is dead, but they're changing the terms and basically giving an out to the teams that don't want to vote along the lines of the or continue along with that new operating agreement. It's basically, it's like, okay, if you don't want to, we'll pay you $6 million. And I think what that's going to do is that's going to end up being enticing enough for these teams to potentially back out, because it is expensive to run an Overwatch League team or any esports team. Mm-hmm. It requires money. And the idea, of course, for them to continue paying in under some sort of agreement when they could basically be getting $6 million to step back, I kind of wonder if we're going to see quite a few of the Overwatch League teams actually step back and take that $6 million to pay off whatever debt they need to pay money to their players and then to close up shop.
Yeah, I feel like because it is such a large lump sum of money that will be payable to the participating teams, you will see a mass exodus, so much so that it will force the rest of the teams to potentially just have to drop out because there won't be anyone left to actually go up against. You know, when there's only two or three teams left in the league, what are you supposed to do? Scrambling around and get, you know, 10, 12 more teams just out of thin air? It doesn't happen that way. You know, you've got to find other backers, other team captains, other people that are willing to actually agree to their terms, you know, for a full year and, you know, see the contract through without any penalty for it to work properly even one time. So I don't know. I think we're going to see a huge exodus, and this, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's on Blizzard on this one because of you know, just fear of the whole merger, not knowing what's going to happen with it. And it was a mistake. But at the same time, it really goes to show that there needs to be some sort of, I guess maybe overarching, like, game league that protects multiple games, you know, and supports their players more than just, you know, one company.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation on how to propose how things move forward here, because the whole premise of Overwatch League was basically to treat it like something like the NFL, where mm-hmm. each of these teams existed in their own, like, home territory and would represent that home territory to a certain capacity, but then would play against each other in those styles similar to what you would see in professional sports. Right. Now, esports, of course, does have, like, it's totally professional, but Overwatch just definitely doesn't have the same continued success as it comes to, like, the esports side as, say, something like CSGO or League of Legends or Valorant. You know, it's a very interesting problem that it runs into, and it's going to be weird to see exactly how many teams stay around, if not, you know, enough teams to actually consider keeping Overwatch League going in the first place. Like, this doesn't mean that the world of esports for Overwatch is dead. It just means that this foundational setup that Blizzard went with was just not cut out to continue on past, what, 5 years, I think, is what we're running right now.
Yeah, something like that. But
yeah,
it's an unfortunate fact, but it is a fact.
Yeah.
And I just hope it doesn't necessarily affect, you know, the rest of the gameplay for, you know, what we're seeing kind of go on right now. But maybe we'll see more players continue to come back to casual play, but right now it does seem like there is a little bit of an exodus. So
yeah, and I think that was just kind of bound to happen with some problems in Overwatch anyway. Not even necessarily in the competitive scene, but just other things within Overwatch too.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I do want to make mention here, though, still, back under the employees being let go. Again, it was round 50, and this is what apparently one of those employees told The Verge about this layoff, though, is that they said there was no warning. This was a complete shock to everyone, and none of us who were laid off were offered any opportunity to switch roles or teams. Apparently they had some sort of perception that everything was going fine, though, for the esports part of it. Like, there wasn't anything to indicate that there was going to be some sort of shutdown or layoff that was going to cause problems. But they go on to say the team had obviously shrunk over the last few years, and esports as a whole has been struggling lately, but we are seeing record viewership and lucrative sponsorship deals for our Call of Duty League tournaments. Overwatch League didn't seem quite as successful from a viewership perspective, but we saw more success than ever with our Overwatch League skin promotions and our side leagues like Calling All Heroes. So this is going to be a very weird scenario then, I guess, for in-house stuff with them. But
I really hope that we don't see a complete exodus of all the teams from the league, and that we do hopefully can, I don't know, in a way, limp through the rest of this season and the next season to actually have, you know, a strong continuance after that to see where Overwatch goes. And maybe, you know, once that there is the closure of this Microsoft Blizzard Activision King deal, we will see more support from Microsoft. But it's hard to say. I don't necessarily know that they have their own esports division per se, that everything else is side funded as well through any other leagues. But yeah, I'm not necessarily involved in anything competitive on that front, and I don't know that if you are or not, so
no idea.
Yeah. So I think it's just kind of a wait and see at this point, and hopefully we don't see the closure of the league, because like they said, they have had success with the skins in the minor league hero event stuff. So
yeah, they have.
Keep fingers crossed.
Yeah, and again, I don't think esports is dead for Overwatch, but Overwatch League itself, things are fundamentally changing to the point that I just don't know how long it's going to be around, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Things happen in this industry. Things get adjusted. We will not see the end of esports with Overwatch, though, at least, you know, anytime soon. So moving on, though, of course, in the rest of the news we have, we do have some sad news that came out at the end of last week. Xbox's Major Nelson, Larry Herb, is going to be leaving Microsoft. So that's right. Basically, outside of Phil Spencer, the face of Xbox, Major Nelson, after doing this for 22 years, is going to be stepping away, going on to do new things. He goes on to say, after 20 incredible years, I have decided to take a step back and work on the next chapter of my career. As I take a moment and think about all we have done together, I want to thank the millions of gamers around the world who have included me as part of their lives. So I don't know exactly what else to say here, just because it's a pretty big thing, because Larry Herb has basically been around for us. Like, I remember when Major Nelson became a thing, especially, like, you know, with the Xbox 360. Like, I know he was there around in the original Xbox days, but even thinking about the Xbox 360 stuff and just being able to be friends with Major Nelson, though, on your console and being able to see that he was signed in, like, on your old Xbox 360 dashboard was pretty cool for me. You know, it was just, it's a neat thing to, you know, to be able to look at and just to know there. And then, of course, all the other things he did, like, I wonder how Free Code Fridays are going to change on Twitter now. And, what's going to happen, of course, with, all these other, I guess, things he basically would announce and host for Microsoft. Is Phil Spencer going to step up and do some more things here for Xbox in that vein? Or is he going to be too busy, I guess, playing Starfield and whatever else, I guess, comes down the line?
Yeah, I mean, he did say he's going to work on the next chapter of his life, so obviously he does have plans for the future. But I don't know. It's just kind of sad, you know, thinking about all the big announcements that, because didn't he have a, and this dates clear back to the days of the Xbox 360 Blades, that they had a thing on one of the Blades that you could access. It was like Major's Minute or something like that. And it was just like news that was like every week or every couple of weeks that coming to like Xbox Live type stuff, or, you know, stuff that was going to be added to games on Xbox Live. And I thought it was really cool. And that was really when the first, I think it was even IDEA Xbox games were announced back then. But just finding out about like all the arcade games from him and, you know, some of the deals and stuff. And yeah, it's just so weird that he's been such a major part of the industry as far as Xbox for so long. And now he's leaving us. And it seems bizarre because, you know, you would hear so many videos where it was just, "Hi, this is Larry Erb, Major Nelson from Xbox," you know, and that was the start of the video. And you knew it was going to be good news for Xbox if you heard that.
Yeah, that's one of the key things that I think I'm just going to be kind of burned out on a little bit there, or at least like, you know, bummed out, excuse me, not burned out. Just because like it's almost like a weird feeling, especially because of like how we grew up with stuff and how we talked about the original G4 TV and things like, you know, Attack of the Show and X-Play going away back in like the old days of stuff. How that felt, you know, this is kind of another one of those feelings too, because of how long it's been since we've had Major Nelson around, you know?
Right.
And basically like that voice of, that voice for Xbox. And it's been great. But now of course he's moving on, and that's his right to do so. You know, at least he's leaving on great terms. There's no animosity towards him or anything like that. But man, just what a crazy thing to think about how fast time flies.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like I said, thinking about those memories of, you know, getting announcements on my Xbox dashboard, you know, upcoming games on the arcade, or, you know, even like you said, going back to like E3 stuff, when he would be out on the floor talking to people at E3 and, you know, finding out about games that were coming to Xbox, or, you know, content that was going to be on Xbox first. He was always the one you wanted to hear from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's who you really wanted to talk to.
Yeah. So, sad to hear you're signing off from Xbox, but maybe not entirely. And we wish you the best.
Yep. Thank you, Major Nelson. We appreciate everything you've done, sir. Now, of course, outside of that sad news, we move on to some exciting news with the last main story of the news roundup, and that is the announcement yesterday from PlayStation and Insomniac revealing a PlayStation 5 Spider-Man 2 bundle coming with customized DualSense controller and customized side plates to match Spider-Man 2's theme with Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales versus Venom.
Man, and that is a gorgeous console, that red and black. But we were talking about this quite a bit, obviously, before the cast and a little bit into the start about the release of the console. And the fact that I do kind of want one, but it's also kind of cool that if you're already an owner of a PlayStation 5, you can just get the plates, or you can just get the controller. You don't have to go buy an entirely new console this time.
That's the thing I'm very grateful about, is that I fondly remember all the different collector's edition consoles that came out over the span of the gears, like especially looking at like the Xbox 360, like we had a, you know, we had the Halo version, we had like the Final Fantasy 13 version wasn't anything different other than Final Fantasy 13 was etched into the hard drive cover. We had the R2-D2 version, we had the Halo 4 version. I know there's been others, but what I'm saying though is that like you had to buy those as separate things. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just, you know, smack something onto the side of your console and be done with it. With the PlayStation 5, at least with these snap-on panels, yeah, you're right, is that there's nothing special about the inside of the PlayStation 5. It's just the outside. So you can go buy those panels, put them on there, and give yourself the same look with only spending a little bit of money. And then, of course, being able to buy the DualSense controller is also a pretty big thing, too, with that being separate, meaning that you can basically have the whole setup for way less than it'd be to buy a brand new console, especially because these are going to be limited edition consoles in the first place. That's like the key thing out of all of this, just like any other collector item. I got to say, though, like the thing looks really cool. I love the tone, though, with the black to red, with the Spider-Man emblem there on the sides. But then, of course, with the blue glow of the PlayStation 5 in the middle, I just feel like it all ties everything together in a real neat package. Like I could see something like this on my entertainment stand.
Oh, heck yeah. But the thing that I was that you actually made me pump the brakes on before the cast.
Yeah.
I want you to think clear back to the early days of the Xbox 360 before there ever was special edition consoles. And it was just about having cool colored consoles. And we had faceplates. They had faceplates that had designs on them. Faceplates for games. Faceplates for animals. You could buy faceplates from AliExpress and pop them onto the front of your 360. Now we're actually seeing this idea come to fruition, I feel like. With the idea that once they launch a new game that they want to really, you know, support, or, you know, as a player, you want to really show your love for the game. Now you can just go buy plates for the side of your console instead of go buy a whole new console every time.
I had actually forgotten about that with the plates on the front of the Xbox 360, that on the original Xbox 360, at least, that you could pull those plates off and replace it. Cause I did do that. Cause I remember pre-ordering, oh, what was it? Was it Unreal Tournament? I think I pre-ordered Unreal Tournament, and I think that came with a faceplate that you got as a part of the pre-order bonus that you could slap on and go. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, at least I could do that. But it was only that front faceplate. It wasn't the whole chassis like this. So
true, but I think that was, you know, baby steps towards what we have today.
True. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. That's very true. I will say, though, like, I don't have a PlayStation or anything or any need to go pick up a DualSense controller, but I like the look of this DualSense controller, and because it works on PC, it might be one of those things to actually have to play on PC as well. Like, I know I could play with my Xbox controller, but, I mean, man, it looks so good.
Well, that's the funny thing, too, though. There are certain Steam games and Epic Game Store games that actually support the DualSense. So it does have the trigger haptic feedback as well as the HD rumble that you would have playing on your PlayStation. So it might be worth going and picking up at least a controller. You know, if you're just a PC player, if you've got, you know, Spider-Man Remastered on Steam, and, you know, you're planning on picking up Spider-Man 2 on the PC, because really the console, even if you, I think it might just be a digital version. Maybe they do have, maybe they do have a disc version of the console as well, that they'll be putting out. I know the plates will be coming in both versions, digital and disc version.
Yep.
But the game that you get is going to be a digital code in the box. So that is one thing to keep in mind for anyone purchasing that will be picking up the console, is you're only getting a digital code. You're not getting a physical copy of the game. That's something that's been more and more common with collector's editions, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I obviously, consoles are going to be the victim of it as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are. But it does look good. Pre-orders actually will open up here, I believe the date said July 28th. And, of course, the console will be releasing, the console, the plates, and the controller will be releasing in September, the month before the release of Spider-Man 2 on console there in October. So if you want this, you need to go and make sure that you refresh that stuff. The pre-order is only going to be on PlayStation Direct, so direct.playstation.com. And if you want to get it, if you guys remember how it was trying to pre-order a console when the Xbox Series line and the PlayStation 5 dropped back in 2020, it's going to be the same thing here. So you better get ready to start moving.
Yeah, Just keep your browser up to date and prepare for long sleepless nights of watching it and hitting the button to refresh over and over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But with that, that is it for the main stories for this week's news roundup. So we move on to talking with Kyle here about the quest markers for this week. Kyle, what do we got in the quest markers?
Yeah, so just two this week. So for the first quest marker of the week, Blizzard will be adding games to Steam, starting with Overwatch 2. You heard me right. Blizzard, obviously, potentially with something to do with the Microsoft merger happening in the near future, and potentially something to do with potentially dropping player count in Overwatch, has decided to add Overwatch to Steam beginning on August 10th with the new content that's being added to the game. I want to say it's the... I want to say it's the new mode that is basically like Hero Stories, essentially. It's what is essentially replacing the single player campaign, however. But with the launch of the new mode, it will be launched on Steam. So Steam Deck users rejoice. You won't have to sideload the .NET launcher. And with the addition of Overwatch, Blizzard will actually be adding a selection of titles to Steam as well, but Overwatch will be the first one. No news yet of any other titles that will be added currently. So keep your eyes out.
Let's go.
Hopefully it's not, Warcraft 3 Reforged.
God, I hope not.
Oh, God. I'm still living the nightmares. And in our last quest marker for the evening, Patapon developers have announced the spiritual successor of the game called Rataton. Actually originally reported by VGC, Rataton was announced at Bit Summit, and Patapon creator Hiroyuki Kotani and the original Patapon musician Kami Adachi are both on board. The game is being developed by Rataton R's Tokyo Virtual Theory and PH Studio, and the Kickstarter campaign for the game is set to go live on July 31st. So if you're like both Travis and I and are huge fans of Patapon, definitely go back this Kickstarter, because it looks like it's going to be awesome. And I can only imagine the Rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-ton.
Oh my gosh. I am so stoked for this. Yes.
I'm just waiting. I'm giddy right now.
Yeah.
But of course, while we sit here all nice and giddy, unfortunately, we have to be a little sad, though, because it is the end of the weekly news roundup for this week of July 21st, 2023. So with that, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to the weekly news roundup. Of course, if you like what you're listening to, be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. We are probably on it. But if you're not sure about what platforms we're on, maybe one of the ones you're listening to that I didn't mention, we are on anchor.fm/the-npcs-podcast, and we have a list there of all the different platforms we are supported on. So be sure to go subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. With that, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We will catch you all next week.
Laters.